Hi, Rahul. I thought we could first start with the general landscape in terms of the venture capital market here in India. Like, how would you characterize the main industries that you or Stellaris invest in? And then, in terms of gaming, since the audience here is largely interested in gaming, how does that fit in?
Sure.
Hey, folks, this podcast is made possible through the support of Data.ai, the industry's most trusted mobile data intelligence and analytics platform. With Data.ai, you can access estimates for rankings, downloads, revenue, usage, or engagement from millions of apps on the App Store and Google Play. And you can drill down by platform, device, country, category, date, and more. So whether you are a mobile marketer, mobile product manager, strategist, or analyst, or a games company founder like myself, Data.ai provides insights and metrics you need to make informed decisions. With Data.ai, mobile game companies can prioritize features, improve usage, explore demographics, track competitors, monitor market share, enhance App Store optimization, and much more. Anyway, check it out. And now back to the podcast.
So, you know, I'll just give you some brief history. Okay. I started in venture around 2007.
Okay.
And things have really evolved since then. At that time, there were like 8 or 10 venture firms that got created, primarily by people who had gone to US, started companies out there.
Right.
There was a lack of late stage investors and there was a lack of angel investors. If I look back now, 15 years later, I think both these parties have evolved a lot. I think there are a lot more angel investment interest, micro VCs that have been created. There are a few more venture firms and there are good number of late stage capital investors who come in.
Okay.
Now, most of these have been more broad based, so invest across sectors.
Okay.
You know, and if you think of sectors, these are areas where either from consumer side, that is where people are spending money. So it could be buying stuff, which is commerce, brands, then there is financial services, healthcare, education, mobility. These are some of the areas that you see a lot of investment that has gone in.
Right.
On the enterprise side, we are increasingly seeing a lot of B2B commerce companies that are coming in, where Indian enterprises want to buy using a tech-enabled platform.
Right.
And then the third broad area is B2B SaaS, which is building software from India for global markets.
Right.
So these are three, four broad areas. Gaming as a space has now become more interesting, I would say, and few reasons, you know, not very insightful, but very obvious reasons. One, just the number of gamers. We now, I think we have more than 300 million gamers.
Yeah.
Size of the industry also has become large enough to be noticed by investors. So and again, different people have different estimates, but close to maybe $2 billion being spent by users in India. Still half of that is RNG, and there is another RNG. But the growth rate is also very exciting. Like, at least I would say this is growing at 40-50% year on year.
Right.
So by this pace, this could be a $5 billion kind of industry in 3-4 years.
Right. And just to kind of break it down for maybe some game studios out there who are seeking funding. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned generalist venture capital firms, meaning you invest across a wide variety of industries. You also mentioned versus, let's say, a specialist like a Lumikai, for example. And then you also mentioned like different micro VCs and things like that. And so could you characterize what does a micro VC mean? Like the, was it fund size? Is it amount of investment? And how many like generalists versus, is Lumikai the only gaming specialist or are there others? Or maybe you can characterize it that
way. Sure. So see, again, different people will have different definitions of micro VC. At least the way we count is anybody who's, let's say, $100 million or lower size of the fund.
Okay.
And that kind of also leads to the number of, or the entry point for those funds.
Right.
So most of these funds will enter at either business plan or seed stage.
Okay.
So that's their entry point. And, you know, Lumikai, I think, is one of the few, actually, I don't know of any other gaming-only fund.
Okay.
But I think it's an, you know, I have a feeling that a lot more such platforms will come in as gaming becomes mainstream investing.
Yeah, it does seem like there was, to your point, this sudden, well, at least it seems for me as a gaming company, all of a sudden it does seem like there is local Indian venture firms that are becoming more and more interested in gaming.
Yeah.
And do you think that's just because of the current growth that we're seeing in the gaming market and with successes of certain big games like PUBG and, well, no longer PUBG, but BGMI and these kind of shooter type games, or how are there any other reasons why you think there's like this sudden shift of interest in gaming?
So actually, let me also backtrack once.
Okay.
You know, in 2008 and 10, mm-hmm. there were few investments that were made by Indian venture firms right. in gaming companies in India.
Right.
But it never translated into large successes, except maybe Nazara, if you think of right. it, right? That was also a venture-funded company.
Yeah.
And it took
Moonfrog, maybe.
Yeah, Moonfrog. So I think attempts have been made. People have been interested. Monetization was always a challenge. And with both number of users and the ability to pay,
right.
at least that question is getting answered. We still need right. to answer the question of talent.
Right.
As in, is there enough talent to build a great game from India? But I think we can't have every piece aligned at the same time.
Is it better to invest early or wait for the talent to emerge? What do you think?
I would say we'll be late if we wait for all everything to align. So
okay.
we have to take these bets and hope that some problems founders will figure out how to solve it. Maybe some talent will not be from India. Maybe some talent will be from a southern geography. That is a possibility, right?
Right.
As long as globally there is talent pool available. But I think the fact that market is there now, demand is there, means that we will see more founders come in and right. start gaming companies in India.
Right. And then when it comes to Stellaris in particular, you guys, generalist fund, you know, I don't know the size of your fund or the, but maybe you could just talk sure. more about what, where do you or like, or what are you looking for if a game studio came to you? What would be the profile? Would it be at the seed stage, Series A later? What should they have in order to sure. be able to come in and pitch you?
So let me just give you brief on Stellaris,
please.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we started our first fund in 2017. That was about $85 million. We last year started investing from our second fund, which is about $230 million.
Nice.
As an entry point, we only do seed and Series A. We do follow-ons in our portfolio companies.
Right.
So from gaming point of view, we'll follow with the same strategy.
Okay.
The way we solve for this generalist versus specialist approach is that while the fund is generalist,
yeah.
people within the fund specialize in certain areas.
I see.
So I and my colleague Naman, we too look at gaming as a space and right. hopefully trying to understand over a period of time.
Right.
But that is where we build expertise, and when we invest, right. and hopefully we'll invest in few companies this year in gaming.
Okay.
We'll come in both at seed and series A, depending on the stage of the business.
Okay. And in the Indian market, how would you characterize like the size, the typical size of funding for seed versus Series A? And I know in the U.S., like, and especially during COVID, like the, even the definition of Series A was like, you know, it was no longer like traction and whatever. It was just like the size, the amount of funding. But for you, what does that, what does seed mean? What does Series
sure.
A mean?
So seed round size wise, typically I would say in India is $2 to $3 million of round size.
Okay.
And Series A could be anywhere from $6 to $10 million kind of round
size.
So
quite sizable still.
So yeah, so that is the range, and
yeah.
that's where we enter.
Right.
In both these stages. Now, seed sometimes could be just business plan,
mm-hmm.
or there could be some POC,
okay.
but that's a fuzzy line. But I would say that those are the two lines.
What is your expectation for Series A?
In terms of?
Of like, if you were to invest in a game studio, you know, Series A check, what is your expectation in terms of like product, traction, all that kind of stuff?
So, see, game studio is one kind of business model in
yeah.
gaming. So if we are talking specifically about game studio, I would say at least in Series A,
yeah.
they should have at least launched one or two games. And again, depends on whether they're doing casual or mid-core. It will be hard for them to launch mid-core game with just seed money, maybe.
Right.
Maybe they would have developed it and ready to launch kind of a stage.
Right.
But if they, let's say they were doing casual games mm-hmm. as a gaming studio, then we would have expected at Series A, they would have launched two or three games, have some early feedback loop from consumer, both in terms of retention and some monetization starting to happen. So that's where Series A become interesting.
Okay.
In a casual game gaming studio.
Right. Rahul, maybe the next question I could ask you is, if an entrepreneur comes to you from, like, in terms of what you're looking for from the entrepreneur, are there any specific traits or characteristics that impress you or that would give you more confidence that a specific team or individual will be able to be more successful than others? Have you seen any sort of patterns in terms of characteristics or anything like that?
So there are certain horizontal patterns,
mm-hmm.
and then we tailor some to the sector that they're building the business in.
Okay.
So things like learning agility and right. experimentative nature, that stays horizontal.
Right.
Anything you're doing new, we believe that there is some learning you come with, but lot happens when you start the business.
Okay.
And how fast are you able to, as a personality, how fast are you able to learn?
Right.
You know, are you humble enough to listen to your customer at the same time have enough conviction to build something.
Right.
So that is one broad area that we look at. Team and leadership capabilities, the other thing that we look at. We don't believe that, you know, one can replace the founder 4 years down the line. So when we're backing a person, however young that person is, the idea is, can they build a team, leadership, can they scale with the business scaling?
Right.
That becomes very important for us. The third horizontal skill is storytelling. Now that kind of reflects in fundraising at times,
right.
That also reflects in convincing your team to stick behind you.
Yeah.
You know, in hard days, there is some storytelling that you do to your customers, to your employees. So that is another horizontal skill we look at. After that, there are a few areas that kind of, you know, becomes less or more important depending on the sector that you're in. So like hustle and execution,
right.
Capability, more important in execution heavy businesses, maybe not as important as, let's say, SaaS business. Customer orientation, which is about how much do you care about your customer, becomes more important in consumer businesses. Not that they're not important in enterprise businesses, but they're much more important in consumer businesses.
Right.
So that's how we evolved the founder evaluation framework.
Okay.
I think in gaming, one other piece that we have also been a bit careful is around data orientation, as in there's a lot of analytics that goes into, it's not the first version, but, you know, what do you incorporate to understand consumer and how do you keep the consumer engaged? That becomes super important, at least in our mind. So that's the other piece we'll actively look for, is how data-oriented the founder is.
And maybe as like a somewhat of an adjunct question to this, like when you're looking at a CEO in particular, what do you expect from the CEO of a startup, like a Series A startup?
Maybe I didn't understand the question, if you don't mind, because at least the framework is what we look at.
That's what you look from the founders. Maybe the way I could characterize it, maybe slightly different actually, but similar, is like for a startup CEO founder at like early stage seed Series A, what should be the main concerns or responsibilities of that CEO?
So actually, all that framework I talked about, we don't apply to the founders, we apply to the CEO.
I see.
So for us, that person is very important. Now, some cases, we have seen that three founders are almost equal CEOs.
Mm-hmm.
So there, the situation may change. But most of these rating or weightages I'm telling you is primarily for the CEO. So when I said team, right, we look at which co-founders was this person able to assemble around him or her.
Right.
That's a reflection of his storytelling abilities, his ability to make people leave their jobs and join them as founders at zero salaries. So that's
all that kind of stuff.
That comes together when we are saying, is this person, you know, can they attract talent or not?
Okay. Now I have a big question to ask you. So we're currently going through a lot in terms of a global macroeconomic sort of situation, right? So we've got kind of the implosion of the public stock market, inflation, you know, you've got all sorts of stuff happening in the world. What would be your advice, or does any of that stuff matter from a entrepreneurial perspective or from a venture capital perspective? How should entrepreneurs think about the global economy relative to them trying to raise funding or operate their businesses today?
Sure. Very, very interesting question. So the way I see, any startup, there are three big pieces. One is the market itself, as in what is the demand, supply, can you build a business there or not? Second is talent.
Mm-hmm.
And third is cash flow or funding.
Right.
These are the three important ingredients if I am the CEO I'm thinking about.
Right.
If you are operating in India market, at least I have not seen any weakness on the demand side. So if, let's say, you're operating in India business, I would say continue building, assuming you have a good business model.
Okay.
There is no need to stop out there.
Oh,
talent, I think, was a very hard task last year.
Yeah.
It is starting to ease in.
Right.
Funding is something that you have to worry about, because a lot of investor sentiment, especially late stage, is sometimes not only driven by the market opportunity, they're also driven by, you know, what happened to my older portfolio? Where is the dollar going? Mm-hmm. Should I invest in India versus US? And that is where you need to be slightly more careful as an Indian founder, that if you are dependent on late stage funding coming from global pool of capital, there you have to be, you know, you have to be okay being more patient, hence have more runway.
Right.
You need to show more metrics. A lot more difficult questions will get asked.
Right.
and you have to answer for next round of funding to happen.
Right.
So that is one area that I've seen people should worry about. Now, if you're operating in a global market, let's say you are a SaaS company selling to US customer, there I think you have to assess the demand side also. As in, are you seeing weakness in demand from their side?
Right.
In which case, instead of hiring 50 salespeople, you had 25 salespeople.
Right.
So that is very sector specific. Because it's hard for me to comment on overall US demand.
No, I like the framework though. That's great.
So that's how we think and advise our companies.
Awesome. So very last question for you. So any advice for anyone trying to pitch Stellaris in particular? How could they get in touch with you? How can they impress you to try and get investment from you?
So I would say one, and this is in some sense a question of hustle. Uh-huh. Try to get warm intros. As in, there is always cold emails possible, right. But warm intros are in some sense a reflection of your hustle, because I think the industry is quite widespread that if you make some effort, you will find somebody to connect, right? So that is one piece. Uh-huh. Second is we, you know, and I don't know if that is a right or wrong thing, we do look for a lot of insights from the founders. So if you are actually pitching, then have third level answers ready for why and how you're solving the problem. Uh-huh. For us, that kind of tells us whether the founder is really passionate, have they thought enough about it, have they talked to enough customers.
Right.
And see, solutions can change, but it's again a personality that how do you build business?
Right.
Do you just build it because others are doing it, or build it because you believe in it?
Right.
So that's what we look for in a founder.
Great. Okay, Rahul, well, thank you so much for your time. I definitely enjoyed the conversation.
Same.
And for our listeners, catch you next time.